I want to try to speak to you tonight about a living Christ. Not just a Christ that came here and dwelt on the earth for 33 and a third years. Not just a Christ that was crucified and buried and resurrected, but a Christ that lives and dwells and walks with us, who talks with us, and directs us and guides us, who comes into our heart and makes his home there. This is the subject that I wanted to talk about. And you might say that it's an experimental type message, but I like to more or less think that it's a parable. And I don't want you to think that everything that I say that I have experienced 100%, but the majority of it I have. And as I use the word I many times, I don't want you to think that I glory in using the word I, because I don't like to use that word. But I have to be able to try to bring my point across. I'd like to take you to the book of Kings tonight, 1 Kings. First Kings in chapter 20. I'd like to read 4 verses to you there. And then from there, I'd like to take you back to the book of Ephesians and the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse and the 17th verse. And there we'll go back to John, the 14th chapter. Reading from 1 Kings chapter 20, starting with verse 1. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses, and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, and to the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, O my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. I'd like for you to hold in your very thoughts while I'm trying to speak to you here these last 2 verses. Thy silver and thy gold is mine. Thy wives, also thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Now I'd like to go back, if you would, with me to the Ephesian letter, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And there we read that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Or as another has interpreted, or that Christ may settle down and be in your hearts by faith. There's no doubt in my mind but what this is one of the greatest scriptures in the entire Word of God, one of the greatest doctrines, that Christ can come into our heart and settle down and make his home there. We read in John chapter 14, verse 23, and it says there, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in and make our abode with him. The disciples didn't understand exactly how that our Lord Jesus Christ could manifest himself to them and not into the world. How he could come into their heart and make their heart his home. And we see that there was something that took place Pentecost came, and the Spirit of the living Christ was given to the church. And then they understood. But just before that, we find that Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" And we see that the disciples didn't understand this completely, but they did understand right after Pentecost came and the Spirit of the living Christ was given to the church. They understood that God did not dwell in Herod's temple in Jerusalem. And they understood that God did not dwell in the temple made with man's hands, but God would dwell in the temple of the believer, in the body of the believer. For we're told that, "Know you not that ye are the temple of the living God?" And then again, we're told that Jesus said there in the 23rd chapter, in the 14th chapter, in the 23rd verse, He said there, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in unto him and make our abode with him." Can you think of any greater thing than to be able to make our heart a home for our Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely, for God to come in by the Holy Spirit and to live and to dwell in our heart by faith. It is more than I can absolutely comprehend at times or actually think about, to think that Jesus would make His home in my heart. As I look out at each and every one of you, I wonder just how many of us really have invited Christ to come into our heart and make His abode there. We look at that word abode, and we find out in the Greek that it tells us that it is a staying, it is a residence, it is a mansion. And our Lord Jesus Christ said to us, He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We look at this word abode, we look at the word mansions, and we see that word abode and the word mansions is exactly the same word. And that while God, while our Lord Jesus Christ has went up yonder to make a place for us, to make a residence for us, to make a living place, to make a dwelling place for us, still, and one of these days He's coming again and receive us to Himself, we can make a residence in our heart for Him. And I believe that the very first thing that we have to do is to invite the Lord to come into our life, come into our heart, and make His residence there. Now, I know one thing that probably comes into some of your minds. You think, well, when we were born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit came in, and it dwells with us, it lives with us. True, I'll say amen to that, but I'll tell you something else. It also tells us in the book of Ephesians. It tells us after we believed that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But let's go just a little bit farther. When I said that the first thing was for us to invite our blessed Lord Jesus Christ into our life, into our heart, to come in and make our heart His abode, make our heart His home. I'm not talking to the unbeliever. I'm not talking to the unconverted. I'm not talking to the world. But I'm speaking to the child of God. And let me ask you this. Even though the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in us and it leads us and guides us and directs us to all truth, is the Lord of your life? This is what I'm talking about tonight. Is the Lord of your life? Does He live and does He dwell in your heart? I said the very first thing was to give the Lord the invitation. Can I back that up with Scripture? Let's see if I can. I can't, but God can. Let's go back to the Revelation. back to the second chapter. And we'll find right there in the very first verse of the second chapter of the Revelation, it's speaking to the church of Ephesus. And we see there, as we look at that, the church of Ephesus, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ was in the very center. He was the very attraction. He was the first love of the Christian people. He was in the very heart and the center of the church. There was nothing lacking. He was Lord and He was King. He was Lord of their life. He was their first love. But we go a little farther and we see that the leaven of evil had started to creep in at the end of this church age of Ephesus. And we see something happened. We see that our Lord Jesus Christ said to them, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And I believe from that time all the way on down to this time that the professing church has degenerated. Some of you might not agree with that. But let's go just a little bit farther. We go over into the end of the third chapter of Revelation, and there we'll find something else. It's speaking of another church age, which is a church age of Laodicea, which we're in at this present time, and it's rapidly coming to a close before our Lord Jesus Christ comes again and to take us back out of this old world into those blessed mansions that He has prepared for us. It's coming to a close, brother. It's at hand. But we see there was something that's taking place here in this the church age of Laodicea at the very end of it. And our God, Lord Jesus Christ, He said to the church, and that's who He's speaking to if you read that part of it. It's wrote to the church. And He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Speaking to the professing church. Oh, I agree with Brother Bill. There's a true church. And it's in the world today. And I believe this true church is standing faithful to God. But I'm talking about the professing church, brother. And I tell you, I don't care who it is, you enter into the many church houses all the way across the country. And I believe there's some that's sitting there that's never been born of the Spirit of God. I don't think because every man enters into the church house and he's got some religious idea that he is God's child or that he's ever been born again. We go a little farther over there in the church edge of Laodicea. And what does he say, what does he tell us there? Speaking of the church, he says very clearly and very plainly, he said, because thou art rich and have need of nothing. Because thou art increased in goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see the situation? They didn't even know what condition that they were in. And then we go a little farther on down. We find something else. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not in the center of that church anymore, like He was back there in Ephesus. But we find that our Lord Jesus Christ is outside. He's come from the outside, and He's standing there and He's knocking at the heart's door. And He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, not if the church will open the door, but if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and I'll sup with him and he with me. To the individual. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Oh yes, he doesn't come up the door and give it a jerk and your heart and say, here I am, I'm coming in, I'm going to take over. He didn't say that. He came to the door and he knocked. I opened the door to him. And I said, Lord, come in. Come into my heart, Lord, and make it what it ought to be. And He came in. And I said, Lord, I want to show You around. And you know, I'll never forget the time that I invited the Lord to come into my heart. I'll never forget that. That was several years ago, back in 1963. I didn't invite Him in so I might have eternal life. I didn't invite Him in so I could be saved. But I invited Him in so that He might be the Lord. So that I might know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Did you ever pray and ask the Lord, Lord, let me be part of the fellowship of Your suffering? He'll answer it. I promise you that. But you know, I went downstairs. I had a way of going downstairs about 2 o'clock in the morning to have fellowship with my Lord. I lived in California. 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, was the time that I was by myself. The rest of the family was in bed asleep. It was quiet. At that time, I felt led to give everything up that I had to my Lord. To lay it up on the altar before my God. I owned nothing. I felt, and where my Lord was concerned, I got on my face before my God. Everything I had in material possessions, financial, and everything else I put up on the altar. I said, Lord, it's Yours. It's Yours, my Lord. I own nothing. You've just allowed me to use it. And I thank Him for it, and I praised Him for it. But I turned it over to Him. And I owned it no more. You know, I felt relieved. And I got up and I started to go back to my bed. After spending some time with the Lord, you know, a small, still voice said to me in a way of bearing witness of my spirit, and said, what about your family? I said, Lord, I raised them. They're mine. But you know, He said, what about your family? I had a little daughter and two sons. At that time, well, I had one son from Vietnam. I won't go into that. The other son was home. Another little daughter. And I got on my face before the Lord, and I laid all three of my children up on the altar before God. I said, they're Yours, Lord. I said, I don't own them anymore. They're not mine. Whatever You do with them, Lord, I'll praise You and I'll give You the glory for it. And you realize for half a minute that these little lambs in here don't belong to You? That God just loaned them to you for a short time? To raise, to bring up, and to nurture and admonition of the Lord. They don't belong to You. They're God's. He created them. He made them for His glory. But you know, after I'd laid my children up on the altar, then I felt better. I got up and I started back up the stairs again. But you know, the Lord said to me again in that small, still voice, what about Margie? Well, you know, she was my wife. I said, Lord, she's mine. She belongs to me. You know, I held her up on a pedestal. She was my wife. She was all I had left, you know. And I said, Lord, she's mine. I've got to keep her. And the finger said, He said, what about Margie? And I went back and I wrestled on the floor with my Lord for I don't know how long. But eventually, I laid her down. I never picked her up again.
If the Lord was to take her home in death right now, I'd praise Him for it. I'd probably weep.
I probably wouldn't have the strength Ezekiel had to not shed a tear whenever his wife was taken home, but to go out and preach. But you know, after I'd laid my family up on the altar and my little wife up on the altar and everything that I had, and what an entrance the Lord made. And I said to Him, Lord, I said, come in. Come into my heart, Lord, and make it what it ought to be. And you know, I said, I want to show You around, Lord. I want You to be at home. I want You to feel comfortable. And you know, whenever we have somebody to come to our home and visit, that's one of the first things we want to do. We want them to be feel at home and to be very comfortable. And this is the way I felt toward my Lord. And I took Him in first to the library. And anyhow, He walked in. And I walked in with Him while He looked around. And you know, I'd never become convicted of anything that was in that library before. But you know, all the magazines and the books and the literature and stuff that was laying around, I've become convicted of for the first time in my life. There's things that Christians shouldn't be reading. There's things that I shouldn't be looking upon. Much less the holy eyes of the Lord to behold. And I glanced at my Lord and I saw His eyes. And I said, Lord, I know this room needs a radical alteration. Would You help me to clean it up? And He said, I'd be happy to. Take everything that's not holy and good and pure and true and cast it out into the trash. Take those bookshelves and put them, the books of the Bible, good commentaries, Bible dictionaries, and place some Scripture around. And so then meditate upon them day and night and bring every thought into captivity and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We left that room and went in the dining room. Well, I knew the Lord wouldn't like that dining room because, you know, I spent much time in that dining room satisfying my desires and my wants and my appetite. And we went in and it was time to serve dinner and I sat down, the Lord sat down at the table across from me, and as He was sitting there, He said, what's on the menu? And I said, oh, some of my favorite dishes. Old bones and corn husks and sour cabbage and onions and leeks and cucumbers and garlics, right out of the land of Egypt. You know, there wasn't nothing radically wrong with none of those things, but they wasn't food that should satisfy a Christian. Our plates were served to us, and I sat there enjoying my plate. I really liked it. And I glanced up and I looked at my Lord, but He was sitting there and hadn't touched it. Touched His food. And I said, what is it, Lord? Don't You like what we serve? He said, I have meat to eat that You know not of. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. If you want food that really satisfies, seek to do the will of the Father. Not to please yourself and fill your own desires, but seek to satisfy Me. At that time, He gave me a taste of that manna that came right down out of heaven, the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then it took Him, and I wanted to introduce Him to the drawing room. We went into the drawing room. Now I knew He was going to like that room because of the quiet room. The fireplace in one corner. Nice soft carpet. Overstuffed easy chairs. It's quiet. Secluded. And He said, this is a nice room. He said, let us come here often together. Let us have fellowship together here of a morning. Let us come and pray together. And you know, this enthused me because
I was a young Christian. I said, "Yes, Lord."
And so every morning, I get up and I'd hurry down the stairs and I'd go in the drawing room, and my Lord would be there, and there'd be a little fire kindled in the fireplace. And I'd go in and I'd sit down, I'd open up the Word of God, and I'd start to read from that, and He'd open it up to me so beautiful and where I could understand it. And as I'd pray, that lovely fellowship that I experienced with Him was something that you couldn't possibly explain. But it gave me the peace that passed all understanding, and it made the day easy as I went through the work of toils and labors in this old life. But you know, as time drew on, the pressures of my job built, and my time that I got to spend with the Lord become a little less, a little less. And the pressure becomes so great that I began to hurry in life, and the cares of this old life started to overtake me once again. And it wasn't long till I had skipped a couple of weeks before going in and being with the Lord. And I was hurrying out to work one morning when everything seemed to be piled up on me, and I glanced over at the door and I noticed a little fire going in the fireplace. And I stopped and I thought, "Is my Lord in there?" And I walked and I looked in that door, and there sat my Lord. And I went in and I said to Him, "Lord, have You been here all this time, all these mornings?" And He said, "My child, I told you I would be here every morning waiting on you." And I realized at the time that I had invited the Lord into my heart and that I ignored Him. And I was not paying no attention to Him at all, but I was hurrying under my own cares and my own trials. And I got on my knees before the Lord and I said, "Lord," I said, "forgive me." I realized that He had been faithful even though I had been unfaithful. And He forgave me, like He always does whenever we're truly penitent. And we're told He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll add a little more of that, and to restore us to fellowship. Because that's one way you can get out of it, brother. Don't walk in unconfessed sins. And I guarantee you one thing, you won't be having no fellowship with the Lord very long. You know, the Lord said to me, He said, "The trouble with you is that you look at this time of our fellowship together, this time of quiet time, is something that would only increase and help your Christian life. But I want you to know something. This time of fellowship and this time of quiet time and time of prayer, it means everything to me too." He said, "I desire this quiet time and this fellowship with you each day." He said, "Because I bought you with a great price. I paid for you the price of my blood. I went to the cross of Calvary for you. And don't neglect it if it's just for my sake." You know, there's never been nothing that has ever made me realize more that that time of fellowship and the quiet time with our Lord each day and that time of prayer is something that is so important from the point of realizing that it's important to the Lord. It done more for me than anything else. One day, He said to me, He said, what about the playroom? He said, "What's in there?" Well, you know, I didn't want to say anything about that because I had many amusements, many activities, many friendships and companions in there that I didn't want to give up, so I ignored His question. And I went ahead, and one evening I was going out for the evening and to meet some old friends. And the Lord met me at the door as I was going out, and He said, "Are you going out this evening?" And I said, "Yes." And He said, "Good, so I'll go with you." And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't think You would enjoy where I'm going this evening. I'm going to meet some old friends. Wait till tomorrow night. We'll go to
prayer meeting or to a Bible study.
And he said, well, I thought when I come into your life that we was going to go and every place together and do everything together. And I was going to be part of everything that you do. And I said, well, Lord, we will, but I have another appointment this evening and I must go out alone. And I went out, and as I went out, why, that evening I never spent such a miserable evening in my life, doing things and going places that I knew my Lord wasn't happy with and He wouldn't have been satisfied with or it wouldn't have pleased Him. And I went in that evening, why, I saw the light still burning in His room. And I thought, well, I must go in and talk this over with my Lord. And I went in and I told Him, Lord, I never had such a miserable evening in my life, leaving You out of everything that I do and the places that I go. From now on, I want You to be a part of everything, and we're going to go and do everything together. And at that time, we went down in that playroom, in that rumpus room, and He turned all those dark corners into light. He threw out all the honky-tonk music. And not only that, my beloved, wherever there was no laughter and joy and peace, it rang out through the whole building. And it's been peace and joy in that room with the Lord when you're with Him ever since. Just one more thing, and then I want to sit down. Brother Bill can preach to us. I come in from work one evening. As I come in, why, my Lord was standing at the door. And He had a very arresting look in His eye. And He said, there's an odor in the house. And my heart dropped. And He said, I believe it's coming from upstairs. And then I was afraid I knew what He was talking about. And He started up the stairs, and I followed Him up those stairs. And He walked to the head of the stairs, and He says, it's in that closet there. And then there was nothing I could do because I knew what He was talking about. I had one or two little things in that closet that I wanted to keep for myself. I wanted to hold on to them the worst way in the world. And brother, I had a padlock on that door so big that you couldn't get into it, and I had that key stuffed in my pocket so deep that nobody was going to get it out. And all I could do was become angry. And I said to myself, I've given him access to the library. I've given him access to the dining room. I've given access to the drawing room. Now I've given access to the playroom. But I'm not giving him this access to this closet. I'm going to keep this for myself. Here he is in this little 2x4 closet now and wanting to take out of there of just the last thing that I've got for myself. And you know, he read my thoughts. And he said, all right. But don't think I'm going to stay up here with that odor. He said, it's like something dead. He said, I'll take my bed and go out on the back porch. And he started down the stairs. And let me say something to you. If you've ever experienced the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you've ever experienced the true fellowship with Him, and then, brother, you feel that fellowship starting to disappear, and you see it starting to slip away, it's not going to be long. You're like old Job saying, Lord, restore me the joys of Thy salvation. Because you're going to feel lonely and lost without Him. Couldn't let Him go any farther. I said, Lord, I'll give You the key to that closet, but You have to clean it out. I don't have the strength to even open the door. And He said, I know you don't. He said, you just give me the authority to do it. And through trembling, shaking hands, I dug that old key out of my deep pocket and I give it to Him. And just a matter of minutes, the Lord had unlocked that door. He'd washed down that closet. He had painted it snow white. And what a relief it was to have that thing out of my life. And you know, the thought came to my mind at that time. And I thought, I wonder if my Lord would take over the rest of this house and keep it clean the way He has that closet. And I ventured to ask Him that question. I said, Lord, I no more than get this one room clean. And I go to the next room and start to keep it clean.
And by the time I get done, the other room is dirty again. I said, would you take over my life and make it what it ought to be? Would you keep my heart clean before you and keep my life straight? He said, my child, that's what I come into your life for. He said, the reason I came in. He said, you can't be a victorious Christian on your own. He said, through me all things are possible, and without me you can do nothing. But you know, he said, but I don't have the authority. You know, I realized at that moment that my Lord had just been a guest in my house, and I had been the host. And I said, Lord, forgive me. For you have been the guest and I have been the host. But now, Lord, you're going to be Lord and you're going to be King. And I want to be the servant. I just want to be the houseboy. And you know, I turned everything over to the Lord at that time. And you know, at that time I realized to walk with the Lord. And by His Spirit indwelling and living and being the Lord of my life was the only way to live. For we read there in 1 Kings in chapter 20, He said, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives and thy children are mine. And the very best things that you have are mine. I am thine and all that I have. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. What a promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And then he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come in and we will make our residence with him in his heart. Yes, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts. May God bless each and every one of this parable that I brought out. I believe there's an application and I believe we can all identify with it. May the Lord strengthen us as we go on this Christian life, building that wall that we've been preached to and taught about. I love each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you.